remember back in May when the Supreme Court struck down that federal law that effectively banned sports betting in most states? Well, all bets are now on. And this week, the NBA became the first major U.S. pro sports league to enter a partnership with a gambling partner. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver announced the deal with MGM Resorts International on Tuesday.
I think there was a recognition here that it's a leap of faith on both sides. It's a deal moderate in length, where I think we can both step back and assess as we go and see, is this working? Is this deal fair? Are we providing the consumers with the right type of experience?
Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. He is with us in the studio. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
How does this deal work? What does each side get?
The NBA gets money, and MGM gets the exclusive rights to use NBA licensing and NBA branding. And also, and this is a little more subtle, there is a what will become a popular form of betting, which is not just betting on the outcome of the game before the game, but during the game as it's playing. You can bet on, you should be able to bet on, the technology is there. You could bet on who will make the next free throw or who will have the next assist. And without real-time streaming statistics, it's hard, if not impossible, to do this. So this allows MGM to offer what in Europe on soccer is a more popular form of betting. Now, we should also say that the significance of the NBA getting money is from the states. Once betting was legalized by the government, the states have to give the NBA money by giving 1% of all wagers, which is called the VIG among gamblers for vigorish, but the NBA chooses to brand this as an integrity fee, which is like the greatest example of, it's almost as if, you know, you were saying, oh, it's not a shakedown, it's term life insurance. But they have a source of income from the states and from the gamblers, but they also want to have the source of income from the casinos. And I think the league being in concert with the casinos makes it a bit more legitimate. That's what Adam Silver hopes.
Remind us what you think about this, because of course it was always thought, okay, betting, that means that players are going to be coerced into throwing games or whatever.
Right.
What do you
think?
I think not. I think that's an old way of thinking about it. I think players are making so much money that there's no way that gamblers can get to them. It's not like the 19 Chicago White Sox where they were getting underpaid by Mr. Wrigley. But I think that Adam Silver has been at the forefront of being progressive on this, and he was the one league commissioner who embraced it, and this is the way the future is going. I'm sure, I've read a lot of research about gambling addiction, and there will be victims of this because gambling always has with it this side effect, and yet at the same time, it'll be a huge moneymaker and make even boring regular season games interesting.
Okay. All the leagues are going to do this, you think?
I think it's inevitable. I think this is where the tide is turning, and I think the NCAA will too.
Okay, let's turn to what some are calling a culture war in sports. LeBron James in his interview with CNN's Don Lemon on Monday, in which LeBron James, spoke of President Trump.
He's dividing us, and what I noticed over the last few months, that he's kind of used sport to kind of divide us, and that's something that I can't relate to, because I know that sport was the first time I ever was around someone white, and I got an opportunity to see them and learn about them, and they got an opportunity to learn about me, and we became very good friends, and I was like, oh, wow, this is all because of sports.
First of all, I thought that was fascinating insight, you know, that for him to say that was the first time he interacted with whites. But your thought on this moment in time and a president and athletes and LeBron James?
I think that this was remarkable for how unremarkable it was, how eminently defensible everything that LeBron James was saying was. But we're not used, or we haven't been used to this sort of athlete. I'm not even going to call it activism. I'm just going to call it plain speaking. And maybe I don't know exactly what people's perceptions of LeBron James are on these matters, but, you know, it wasn't more than a few years ago. There was an academic study on him, and the conclusion is, and they looked at all the sorts of politics he's ever weighed in on, we found James is cautious and deliberate in his activism, moderating a message of consideration rather than revolution, contextualized by his brand and ambitions. And I don't think that's untrue. So if people are saying, oh, this was a radical statement, I think it's actually a moderate statement.
Also worth pointing out that President Trump has 53 million followers on Twitter. LeBron James has 41 million followers on Twitter. I mean, they're pretty LeBron's got a big following. There are questions about whether he's going to run for president.
Well, he's already the king. I don't know. Would that be a step down?
No, but in 2020, I mean, this is something that he's thought about. What do you think?
I think that's far-fetched. I think LeBron needs to be the greatest basketball player in the world, right, with using a platform occasionally weighing into other matters.
I just want to ask you quickly, a member of Coach Urban Meyer's, Ohio State's Urban Meyer's coaching staff, has been accused of abuse. The wife of the accused abuser says Myers knew. What's happening briefly here?
Yeah, so this was more than an accusation. I think it's a quite credible accusation. The assistant coach, Zach Smith, was fired. And the big question is, did Urban Meyer know about it? That's why Ohio State put him on leave. And there are Title IX implications. And as an employee, as a term of his contract, and as an employee of a public university, and by far the highest paid Ohio employee, the state of Ohio pays Urban Meyer more than anyone else, he might have a duty to have reported this, if indeed it can be proved that he knows. I don't know if he'll miss any games in the football season. He's still correctly considered one of the best coaches in college football.
There you go.
Mike Pesca here now, sports analyst and editor of the new book, Upon Further Review, The Greatest What-Ifs in Sports History. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.